pleasure to be with you this evening, and we do trust that as we come to the Word of God, that we might hear God's voice and that He might speak to us. That's why we come together, of course, for God to speak to us. There wouldn't be any point in coming to meetings like this and to read from the Bible if we didn't expect God to speak to us. Now, we do trust that as we read the Scriptures, that we might do it with interest and attention. We want to read from the Gospel by Luke, and we're reading a very familiar passage in chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and there's one expression amongst these verses that we will read that I want to particularly think about this evening. So we'll commence at verse 32 of Luke chapter 23, verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Now, we want to think particularly about that part of verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garments, his raiment, and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, truly, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost, gave up the spirit. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. Now, we do trust that the Lord will bless these verses to us this evening as they are read and as we seek to speak a little about them. But I want to think in particular of that part of the verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Now, I was thankful that we did sing that first hymn, What Can Wash Away My Stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We have nothing to offer for salvation. And if we are ever going to be saved, if we're ever going to be in heaven, if we're ever going to know and experience the assurance of God's salvation, a place in heaven for all eternity, then we can only have that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do remember this evening that the Bible says, and the Bible is true this evening, the Bible says that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save. And we remember this evening, and as we think about the words, the verse that we have highlighted in the reading, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And we want to think this evening, first of all, of the journey that he took. We do notice in that verse that when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, we remember the place from which he came. He came from the Father's presence. He came from heaven. He came from that place of eternal bliss, the object of angelic praise. And yet, willingly, he stepped from the courts of heaven, and he stepped into time, and he was born at Bethlehem, and he was cradled in the manger. And we want to think of that journey that he took from the realms of everlasting glory down to earth and eventually through to the cross at Calvary. And not only did he come to Bethlehem, born there of the Virgin, but we remember too that he was brought up in the village, the town of Nazareth. It wasn't a famous place, it wasn't a grand place. He was born to a very poor family, and the Bible describes his father as the carpenter. And indeed, we discover in the Bible as well that not only was his supposed father Joseph spoken about as the carpenter, but he himself was spoken of as the carpenter from Nazareth. And so the Son of God, the Eternal One, God manifest in flesh, Jehovah, God himself, come down from heaven to dwell amongst his people. And he came to the village, the town of Nazareth, and the Bible says that in Nazareth he was brought up. And then from Nazareth he went to Capernaum, and he resided there, and in Capernaum, that was the place where most of his mighty works were done. But we do want to remember this evening that it was when they were come to the place which is called Calvary that there they crucified him. And we do want to think this evening of the purpose, the reason why he left the realms of glory, the reason, the purpose for which he came. He came that he might die upon the cross there, that he might give himself as a sacrifice for sin, that he might provide salvation through faith in himself there upon the cross at Calvary. I want to think of that great journey that he took from the realms of glory to the horrors of Calvary, where they crucified him. But then I thought about the verse again, and not only the journey that he took. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And I asked myself, who was it that had crucified the Son of God? Who was it that had put to death the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary? Then I remember that these Roman soldiers had led him outside the city and up to the hill of Calvary. And I remember that these rough, callous, cruel, hardened Roman soldiers, indifferently, they had driven the nails through his hands and his feet. And there these Roman soldiers, we can say this evening, that they crucified him. But then I thought about it again, and I remembered that in spite of the fact that he'd been tried, and in spite of the fact that he had stood before his Roman judge Pilate, who had declared him innocent of the charges that had been brought against him, Pilate sentenced him to death. And I remember that Pilate, he hadn't stood there upon the hill. He hadn't ascended Calvary, but it was Pilate's authority that had put the Saviour to death. And I remembered that although he had tried him and found him innocent, yet he had passed the sentence of death, and he delivered him into the hands of the soldiers. They drove through his hands and his feet the spikes that nailed him to the tree. Then I thought about it again, and I remember that the mob, they had cried, "Crucify!" Pilate didn't want to crucify him. Pilate wanted to set him free. Pilate knew that he was innocent. He'd done nothing worthy of death. He'd examined him. He'd listened to the evidence that was presented against him. And he'd declared to the mob, to the multitude that stood there, that he was absolutely innocent. And yet, incited by the rulers of the nation, when present, behold the man, as he stood there, he'd been mangled, he'd been mistreated, he'd been whipped, he'd been scorched, they had pummeled his face with their fists, they're hung in his cheek the spittle, the hatred of these Roman soldiers. There, as the Son of God stood before the multitude, and Pilate offered to set him free, the innocent Christ, they raised their voice in unison, and they cried, "Crucify! Crucify!" And I remembered that it was the mob that put him to death as well. And then, of course, we remember that the rulers of the nation, Pilate knew it was out of jealousy. They had brought the charges, they had trumped up the charges against him. And we remember that it was they, the rulers of the nation, who had demanded that Pilate should put him to death. And we ask the question this evening, who was it that put the Saviour? Who was it that crucified Christ at Calvary? And then I remembered that it was my sins that he bore upon the tree at Calvary. And while I was never there, and I didn't hold the mallet, nor the nail that was driven through his hands and through his feet, I remember that he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, his wounds, we can be healed, we can be saved, we can be forgiven, we can receive eternal life through faith in him. And isn't it wonderful this evening that we can stand here, and this the 7th day of June in 2009, and announce to men and women in this village that Christ died for the ungodly, that he sacrificed himself for my sins. And I want us to remember this evening, each one of us, that when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. I want you to remember this evening that it was your sins that nailed the Saviour to the tree, and it was your guilt that he bore upon the cross at Calvary, and it was because of you that he suffered and died. Pilate had declared him innocent. The man that hung with him in the tree said, "We indeed justly, but this man had done nothing amiss." And isn't it wonderful this evening to understand that the Son of God came from heaven's glory, and he came to the place which is called Calvary, and at Calvary he suffered and died and bled. He bore the judgment, the eternal wrath of God. He bore it in his own soul in the tree. You see, he wasn't a sinner himself. He was sinless. And yet the Bible says
that he bore, he died. He suffered there upon the cross at Calvary. He suffered for sins. But he suffered for sins not his own. Why did the Son of God come? Why did he go to Calvary? Why did he suffer and die upon the cross? He was innocent. But we want to understand again this evening that he did that, that you and I might be forgiven, that you and I might be saved, that you and I might stand in the courts of heaven through faith in Christ when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. There at Calvary, they crucified him and they put him to death. But then I thought about another man as well in these verses that we've read together. And it could be said about him when he was come to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him as well. And I'm thinking of the man, the malefactor. There was two of them, of course. And I thought about the journey that he had made as well. The course of his life. The kind of life that he had lived that had brought him to that place, Calvary. You see, he was there because he was a sinner. Crimes had been committed. He had been arrested. He stood before his judge. The evidence had been presented. The evidence had been weighed. The judge had found him guilty. The sentence had been passed. He was to be put to death by crucifixion. And they led him outside the city wall. And they led him up to Calvary's brow. And there they crucified him. One on the right side and one on the right and one on the left. There he too had made that journey. That journey to Calvary. And we discover that it was there at Calvary that he makes a great discovery. I don't know how he had spent his last night on earth. The sentence had been passed. When the sun would rise, when dawn would break, and a few hours later, they would lead him out and put him to death. The man knew that eternity, life was over. It was past. He knew that eternity was soon to come. That very soon he would stand in the presence of the eternal God. And here we have him here. The other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God?" I want to ask every person in the room this evening, "Dost not thou fear God?" The Bible tells us that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, to die unforgiven, to die in your sins, to die without being saved, without having Christ as your Saviour. He said when he was here, as he looked into the face of men and women, he said to them, "If you die in your sins, that's a possibility this evening." None of us know how long we have here. Some of us are much nearer naturally, much nearer eternity than others. We don't know what a day is going to bring forth. Maybe that we're hale and hearty tonight, tomorrow, just at the snap of your fingers, you could be launched from time into eternity. You could drop from time into hell in a moment of time. And this man says, asks us the question this evening, "Dost not thou fear God?" A fearful thing to fall into the hands
of the living God.
Seeing that we are in the same condemnation,
and we indeed justly,
there's been no miscut as far as Christ was concerned, as far as the Son of God was concerned. There never was a greater miscarriage of justice in this world. Never a greater miscarriage. But this man says there was no miscarriage as far as we are concerned. We were guilty. We were sinners. We deserve what we're getting. We indeed justly. But we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He says, we are sinners. The crimes that we have committed, we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man's thank God that this man's different. He's so very different from you and me. And we understand this evening that he is the sinless one who was able to bear in his body the iniquity of us all. He was able through the eternal Spirit to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin, but not for his own sin, for the sins of others, for our sins, for your sins. And thank God this evening that to receive Christ as your Saviour is to receive the forgiveness of sins and to be made in an instant of time to be made ready for heaven for all eternity. And so he says, this man has done nothing amiss. And then he addressed the Saviour. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me. If he was ever going to be saved, he couldn't save himself. But the Lord could save him. And he made his prayer, his petition. He cried to the sinner's Saviour, Lord, remember me. You remember Peter when he walked in the water. And he began to sink and was in danger, mortal danger, of sinking below the stormy waters. And as he sunk, he fixed his eyes upon Christ and he cried, Lord, save me. And the Bible says that immediately he stretched out his hand and he saved Peter. My friend this evening, because Christ died for our sins, doesn't mean that you'll be in heaven. But only through faith in him. Here he is, this man, as he teeters on the very brink of eternity. Almost stumbling into the jaws of hell. Only a brief breath, and the silver cord would have been snapped, and he would have plunged for eternity into hell under the judgment of God. But here he is. And only he couldn't save himself. I've often quoted, here we have a man. He had lived his life. He had no opportunity to turn over a new leaf. Life had gone. Eternity was coming. He would soon depart from this world. He had nothing as far as his former life to offer God for his salvation. I've often quoted that hymn, nothing in my hand I bring. Nothing. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. And here he is, with nothing to offer, and no opportunity to do better, even if that had been possible. This man, had he known the words, would gladly have sung, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, naked come to thee for grass." And here he is, and he says, "Lord, remember me, all full of friends, of neighbours, of colleagues, of relatives. Everything was now in the past, and it was now me and the eternal God. Dost not thou fear, God? Lord, remember me. Have pity on me. Save me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And listen to the response of the Son of God, the Saviour, this evening. Verse 42, "And Jesus said to him, Truly I say unto thee," do you want to lay your head in the pillow this evening? "To know that the sky is clear between God and you. To know that your sins are forgiven. To know that you'll be in heaven for all eternity." Listen to the response of the Saviour to his prayer. "Lord, remember me. Remember me. Have pity on me. Save me. Forgive me." And the Lord replies, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Only a few breaths, only a few minutes, a few hours at most, and you must depart this life. And all that was precious, and all that seemed to be so very real was behind him. And he's about to launch out into the great eternity. "Lord, remember me. Remember me as the darkness closes round. As death begins to lay its hold. Its cold, clammy hand is already on me. Lord, have mercy on me." And his response today, you see, he was going to die very, very soon. Today. He didn't need to wait for a millennium. He didn't need to pass through the refining fires of purgatory, which the Bible speaks nothing of. But instantly, when he departed this life, it was to be with Christ for all eternity. But I want to ask you tonight, what are you depending on to get to heaven? This is the most important question. There are many things that exercise the minds of men and women this evening. There are many important things that exercise the minds of men. But they only affect you for a few years down here. What we are dealing with this evening are matters, eternal matters, that are going to affect you for the unending ages of eternity. And your eternal destiny hangs in the balance tonight. Will you have Christ as your Saviour? Will you trust him tonight? Will you receive by faith the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember that he did die for sin, not his own sin, but he did die. And when they were come to the place which is called there, they crucified him. Or we can say that the soldiers crucified him. Pilate put him to death, the soldiers crucified him. The mob demanded that he should be crucified, the rulers of the nation. But I want you to understand this evening that it was our sins, minds, that nailed him to the tree, yours. And if you come to Christ this evening, you can have the assurance of sins forgiven. Christ as your Saviour. Heaven as your eternal home. The joy of God's salvation in your heart. Christ within. If you come and you trust him this evening. There are two malefactors, of course. One on the left and one on the right. One of them chose Christ. Where is he tonight? Quarter to seven almost. 7th of June, 2009. 2,000 years ago, he trusted the Saviour. Where is he tonight? He's with Christ. The other, where is he? Where is he? The Bible doesn't record that he ever trusted Christ. And if he died as he had lived, and if he died as he mocked, and as he railed upon the Son of God, quarter to seven, 7th of June, 2009, if he died as he lived, he's under the judgment of God. And if another million eons of time passes, one will be in the presence of Christ for all eternity, and the other under the judgment of God. Tonight, you can know, have the assurance of sins forgiven, but remember nothing in my hand I bring. Simply, to thy cross I cling. You can give nothing for God's salvation. The price has been paid. The Son of God paid it upon the cross at Calvary. Trust him and know the joy of sins forgiven. Our Father, we thank thee again for the opportunity of opening the Bible and reading from it. We commit ourselves to thee. We thank thee again for those that have come. We thank thee for all who are trusting Christ. We know him as Saviour. And let it be in the room this evening that there are those that need to be saved. We do pray that their minds might be enlightened, and that their hearts might be opened, and that their wills might be given to receive Christ as their Saviour. We commit ourselves to thee. We pray for thy blessing. We ask thee to be with us and to continue to speak to us and to give us the joy and the assurance of the salvation that thou dost offer this evening through faith in the Lord Jesus. We give our thanks and seek thy parting blessing.